Blog Talk Radio.
Wide Open Radio. Your host, Susie Bonham Craig, as we embark on another journey, Portal of Wisdom. I invite you to participate in the chat room and with your questions and comments on 718-405-58. Now, journey begins. Soulmates and journeyers, welcome to another episode of Wisdom Wide Open Radio. Today is Sunday, August 23rd, as we are eagerly jumping into the last part of our summer here and enjoying it on the Jersey Shore. It's a little cloudy today. I think we're welcoming a little sideswipe of Hurricane Bill, and although the waves are magnificent. So I'm really, really pleased today to be able to have Harry Shade of Rare Sense Thoughts radio show on Blog Talk Radio joining us today. And just before I bring Harry on, I'd like to tell you a little bit about him. Harry, over 30 years has been a speaker, trainer, and seminar leader, and he's conducted speeches and seminars for tens of thousands of people and integrating body, mind, and spirit to live in it. Holistic, healthy, happy life. So sorry about that. I really hate reading these things. Anyway, I had the pleasure of being on Harry's show last week, and we had a really great conversation. I'm looking forward to more about what Rare Sense is. And I'm sure those of you listening today have some idea what that is and where it's bringing us. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome fellow life coach, speaker, trainer, self-growth expert guide, and fellow radio show host, Harry Shade. Harry, are you
there?
How are you?
Hey, if I was any better, I'd be twins. How about you?
I love that one. Love it, love it. So, Harry, are you back in Ohio?
Well, yeah, I'm in Ohio. I actually was I was in Ohio the whole weekend. I was just up in northeastern Ohio visiting my mom. Today's her 73rd birthday, and so I was up for the weekend to see her. But then I got myself back to Columbus to do the show and take care of some other things.
Oh, okay. Oh, so we missed Eleanor today. Well, we want to wish her a happy birthday anyway.
Yeah, happy birthday, Mom.
Yes, and thanks for coming back to join us. So, Harry,
you
and I have been going through several gyrations in order to make this happen. So I'm really, really happy that you're here with us today, and I'd love to hear more about your story and to share with our listeners. I know it's a very interesting story, so we'd like you to take the helm and just share with a little bit with our listeners about your rare sense and your journey.
Well, my journey has been 49 years so far, at least that's in Earth years, right?
Oh, we're even the same age. How about that?
Yeah, there you go. My journey on this path started probably when I was about 12 or 13 years old. I come from a little town called Newton Falls, Ohio, not necessarily the hotbed of diversity, but a great town to grow up in. There's about 5,000 people there and 10,000 cows. But it was there that I started having questions about things and why things were the way they were. And I first approached my boyhood pastor, Reverend Gephardt, and I was one of those kids that you really just bugged him with all kinds of questions. And the thing I loved about Reverend Gephardt, he was such a wonderful man. He was very patient, and when he could give me a direct answer, or he felt he could, he did. And when he didn't, he would just say, "Go talk to God. God will answer you." And then I also had, other influences. There was a Catholic priest in town that lived right behind us beside his church, and used to sit and talk with him all the time. He was really, really a neat man, and A lot of the young men in town, sometimes there'd be 10 of us over at the parish, parish house, just sitting down with him and talking and just sharing things. And the more the questions that I got answered, the more answers that I had. And like I said, since, you know, Newton Falls, not really a lot of diversity there, I always wanted to attend Ohio State. And you have to imagine, I went from a town of 5,000 people to a university of 52,000 students.
Wow.
Yeah.
Culture
so,
shock.
Definite diversity. I absolutely loved it. This was the place for me. I mean, Columbus at the time had probably 700,000 people. So I was in my element, though. I mean, because we had, just down the street was an international dorm. And boy, I think, found myself. Because I was able to study all kinds of different religions and meet all kinds of different people. And, you know, I just really, really grew a lot. And I continued on, for lack of a better term, my spiritual path, and continued to learn and grow and just, you know, try to find myself. And then graduated with my degree in criminal justice, started out my law enforcement career. I went into the Army and spent 8 years as a military police officer and criminal investigator. And ran around the world, and again, got exposed to, lived in Germany for 4 years, visited 27 countries, and really just more and more kept growing and growing in my spirituality. And I came to the conclusion that it was all based on the same thing. And this is what, I have to preface this by saying too, Susie, this is what works for me. I'm not the type of person who is going to tell anybody what they need to do. I feel that we're all on our own path. We're all going to the same destination, but we're going to get there in different vehicles and in different ways. And that's why my philosophy, what came out of all this, is my philosophy of life is, I don't care what you call yourself, just love one another. So, again, I was exposed to all kinds of different religions and people and societies and, you know, you name it. And it was just absolutely wonderful. And I've had such just fantastic, blessed experiences for a young man from, I still think I'm a young man, by the way, from Newton Falls, Ohio. You know, there's a lot out there. And so that's where my journey then led me to finally writing the book Rare Sense. And the reason, obviously, I call it Rare Sense is I think it should be common, and I think it actually is, but it's a catchy title, isn't it?
I absolutely love it. You know, when I also embarked, I remember on my first writing endeavor, it was about this, you know, silent majority. That's what I called it, because I felt that the majority of us did have that rare sense, as you so put it, and that it was rising up now, and it is being recognized and acknowledged. So I'm right in tune with you there, Harry. I think it's a great title.
Yeah. So, you know, it is a play on words, and I truly believe that we all have this sense in us. We just don't tap it. And so I sat down to write this book. Now, this is the other thing I mentioned earlier. I don't want people to sit there and say, oh, Harry told me to do this. No, I want everybody to find their own path. And the book in and of itself is things that work for me to have a fulfilled and balanced life. Okay? And so I thought, okay, well, let me put this out, and I think this could help some people at least. And this is what I say a lot of times when I'm speaking with people in my seminars. Take what you can from the seminar today. Use it, discard the rest. And I feel the same way about the book. And I've done the same thing. I mean, I've read Deepak Chopra, Marianne Williamson. You know, these are some of my mentors. Neil Donald Walsh, Wayne Dyer, Napoleon Hill. I mean, to give you an idea, you know, Norman Vincent Peale. These are some of the people that I've read. And I haven't agreed or necessarily been able to understand everything that they said, you know. But I've taken what I could. And it's led me to where I am today. And so that's kind of how I got to where I am.
Wow, Harry. Now, you know what? I have a question, because I notice, you know, there are still some separation that's being really invoked, I think, in our society. And I need to ask, only because I also come from a background, I was married to a police officer, and I was really curious, because as I read some of the excerpts from your book, you talked about forgiveness. And I was just wondering, as your role as a police officer, and especially as a criminal investigator, what changed, or what, I guess, changed maybe your views, or how did your opening up to forgiveness really affect, you know, or vice versa, I guess your role as that, and then opening up to forgiveness, how has that really affected you?
Well, forgiveness to me is a key. If you want to move forward and you want to, you know, really not dwell in the past and live there, forgiveness is an incredible thing that you can use to help you do that. And the thing I always said about forgiveness is forgiveness is more for the person who's trying to forgive others than it is actually the person they're forgiving. Because if you really think about it, and this has happened to me on several occasions, where I've literally gone back to somebody and spoke with them one-on-one and said, okay, you know, this thing happened. It bothered me this long time. I forgive you. I found out that almost every time they didn't even remember what they did. They, you know, and they were like, okay. And they go, you know, I really didn't even remember that. And I got to really thinking about that, going, I held on to this whole time, and they didn't even, it didn't even matter to them. And so I thought, well, should it have mattered to me? And the more
Isn't that
I got,
amazing?
Yeah, oh, yeah. And the more I got into it, the more I grew into my faith and my spirituality and all that stuff, the more I realized that it was me doing it to me then. They may have done something that I considered a transgression at that point, but then from then on, I was doing it to me over and over again by simply reliving it, by simply holding on to it. I was keeping that poison inside myself. I was keeping that negativity. I was giving my power away to them, and they didn't even know it.
their pocket. I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about. Now, Harry, tell us how your book is different from books that have the same genre.
Well, it's different. This is the way I feel it's different. It's different because it was written by somebody I consider myself to be kind of a layman. I don't have a PhD. I'm not a psychiatrist. I don't have doctor, but, you know, I'm not, you know, this, that, and the other thing. I'm just kind of what I consider a normal, everyday guy that took the time to look at these things. And maybe I have some more knowledge on the subject than others, okay? But for me, what it comes down to is this is what has worked for me. And here's the other thing. When I talk about having a fulfilled and balanced life, that is a personal definition. What I
it is
fulfilled and balanced doesn't, Susie, you may not consider it. Phil, who's my brother from another mother, I see him in the chat room there. He may not, you can talk to all kinds of people. The success, fulfillment, and balance is personal. And so these are personal things, again, that have worked for me. And what I think is uniqueness of it is it's coming from that perspective, and it's listen, this is what works. Read it. Journal in there what you think about it. Again, take what you can, discard the rest. I am not trying to convince anybody of anything. I am simply trying to get them to think.
Right. I think that's really everyone's motivation. I really feel that strongly now that people who have really stepped on board with their mission to evoke this change and this uprising and, you know, in consciousness. And I do call it an uprising because I believe it's gained so much momentum. Would you agree, Harry?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you did ask me a question earlier. I almost felt like a politician. I kind of answered it to the side. When you asked about forgiveness and you're kind of comparing to the law enforcement, I didn't even
yes.
speak to that. And I don't want to be like a politician, so if you don't mind, I'll go ahead and speak to that for you.
Please do. Please do.
In law enforcement, one of the biggest things, again, this was my philosophy, and I'm going to tell you this. I was in it for 12 years. This is the philosophy of 99% of the people in law enforcement. There are two words that you see on the side of a lot of cruisers out there, and those two words are protect and serve. I live that every single day, and I'm telling you, 99% of the people in that business are that way. They are out there to protect and to serve. Now, I would be lying to you and to the audience and to anybody else if I didn't say that while I was doing law enforcement and in that role as a criminal investigator, especially because we conducted felony investigations, rapes, murders, you know, major stuff we handled, I would be lying if I said it didn't affect me and if back then I didn't go, man, you know, How do I deal with this? I really want to just take this guy and throttle him, you know? Seriously. But as I continue to grow into my spirituality, as I continue to learn about things, again, I had to learn, you know, to forgive myself. Now, one of the hardest things I can only imagine, because I was never a victim of some of those types of crimes, or I wasn't the family of a murder victim. Just from what I had to try to do as the law enforcement side of that, and trying to deal with these people, and say, you know, these criminals and whatnot, and try to keep it at a certain point, I can just imagine what these folks had to go through, you know, to try to forgive. So what I ended up doing, though, when I really got out and I really had this epiphany of a lot of things, is it's when Neil Donald Walsh put out his books, you know, Conversations with God. That was my big epiphany, where I sat back and I said, wow, you know, I really got to start releasing some of this stuff. I can't live with any more of the fact that I couldn't take away the pain of, you know, of these victims. I mean, no matter what I did, I put people in jail, you know. In fact, well, actually, I never put anybody in jail. I just investigated that as a prosecutor's job. But, you know, people were in jail because of an investigation I did, this, that, and the other thing, but I never could take away the loss or the pain. And I really had to forgive myself first and foremost, and I had to go back and forgive those people for what they did. And, you know, here was one thing, though, that really came of this for me, and this happened even while I was in law enforcement, but it slowly even got more stronger for me, is that these, in most cases, and again, we're going to go back, one of the reasons I'm as happy as the guy I am, after going all that I went through with the worst that people can do to one another, is I can do math. Okay?
Math.
I can do math. And here's what I mean by that. Again, it's even more than this, but 90% of the people out there are good people. Only really less than 1% of the people commit most of the crimes. Okay?
I hadn't realized it was that low.
Yeah, and especially your higher crimes. I'm not talking about your minor little burglaries or shoplifting, but those felony crimes are committed by 1% or less of the population, okay? In most other cases, when you're talking about these burglaries and some of these simple things, these are good people who made a bad decision.
Okay.
Okay? And so because they're still good people, they have that goodness still inside them somewhere, they made a bad decision, then it was easier for me, especially on them, to forgive them. Now, when you started getting up in the hierarchy of things, the rapists, the murderers, child molesters, any type of those types of things, I still had to go back to, when I finally got to the point where I am now today, I had to go back and say, okay, if we're all from spirit, we're all part of spirit, then there's a reason why these people are here. And if they did nothing more simply to help us to understand what love is, by showing us the opposite, then they're here to serve that purpose. Now, that doesn't take away any pain, and I'll be honest with you. I could sit here right now, and if I was talking to a rape victim, they'd go, okay, I don't get that at all.
Right.
Remember, I'm talking for me. For me, I've sat back. Now, I will tell you this. I have talked to rape victims before. I've talked to even families of murdered, you know, people who are murdered, whatnot. I've talked with them, and the ones that have been able to step into that place of forgiveness no longer have that pain. They've been able to release that pain, get rid of it. They're no longer being held in the past by that. They're not forgetting about their loved ones by any means, way, shape, or form. But forgiveness has transformed them. And there's actually, I'm trying to think, because I'm glad you actually brought this up, because there's a story coming out, and I don't know, I'll have to try to find it, but there is a story, I think it's a movie that's going to be coming out, or a book or something. No, it's a book. It's a book called The Crying Tree. And the author is Nassim, I can't remember her last name. I'll try to look it up. But anyway, in The Crying Tree, this is a true story about a family whose son was murdered, and through the process of the trial and all this and whatever, they ended up forgiving the murderer because the murderer happened to be the best friend of the kid he murdered.
Wow. Now, we hear that quite often, I would think. I mean, on mainstream media, because it's a story like that that sticks out. And it's one of the good things that, you know, once in a while mainstream will report. And would you agree that this is a process that these people had to go through? I mean, this was a long time coming, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's definitely a process. I mean, it's the same thing. There's been other movies and stories and stuff, and you're right, they do come out because it's something that, unfortunately, it's something in society we go, oh my God, that doesn't happen. And you sit back and go, yeah, you wish it happened more often. But again, we are human.
Right.
Those things. I mean, you know, even today, I I'm gonna be flat out honest. If something happened to one of my family members in a way like that, as spiritual as I like to think I am at this point, I'm still learning, I'm still growing. Even though I wrote a book, and this is another reason why I say people don't take everything, it's not gospel, it's a book, it's got information in it. I am still on my spiritual path. I'm still learning, I'm still growing. I write about things, I work on stuff, but again, these people, yeah, this is definitely a process, Susie, without any doubt, it's a process. And sometimes it's a very long and painful process to go through.
I know I've been on that path myself several times. In fact, you know, just when you think that you've purged it, sometimes it rears its ugly head again until we get it, you know, where we're actually had gotten to that point where we can actually look at those people with appreciation with the experiences. And we talked about that on your show last week as well.
We did.
But around this whole forgiveness type of platform that we're looking at now, it seems like there's so many variables to the chain of pain, you know. And one of the questions I wanted to ask you with regard to, you know, your career as in criminal investigations was, do you now feel, can you look back on that career and say that this was absolutely the best path that you could have been on for discovering who you really were and what you were capable of?
Yeah, I think this is a big part of it. I'll be totally honest with you. I loved what I did. I mean, I woke up every morning when I was in the Army and I was a criminal investigator. I woke up every morning with a purpose. And again, it comes back to that protect and serve. And I loved what I did. We worked 14 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Wow.
And most people would sit back and go, you know, but I loved what I did because it served me. It was allowing me to serve the community. I knew I was making a difference. There was something I was doing every single day that impacted that community in a positive way. And so the only reason I got out of that is because my daughter was born, and the first year of her life, I never got to see her.
Oh, wow. Well, that was a life-changing decision
to make. It was. But, you know, when I had my wife at the time, when she called me up in the middle of a murder investigation, which you don't go home for 48, 72 straight hours, you work this thing, and was asking me to come home, and I'm like, I thought something was wrong, because normally she would not do that. And her comment to me was, well, oh, Melinda's crawling. And I had to tell her to take a video.
Aww.
I didn't want to miss those anymore. And so those moments were too precious to me. I wanted to be a dad and be there. So I got out of the military. I got out of law enforcement. And I spent the next years working real estate and things along those lines where I could be there for my daughter.
Isn't it funny? Don't you find it like, I think this is a common thread. Once people have awakened to either a different purpose, you know, like the life as they knew it starts to erupt and starts shifting, and then things start shedding away, is that they really reach for more flexibility in their life. And I think this is really key to what you write about in your book about, you know, being open and to really take a look at the balance and fulfillment in your life. And obviously that, you know, your book is catalyst to that, but it also talks about your own story. Because I know even when I left corporate America, I know it was more about, it wasn't a career anymore to me. It was more because career represented different things to me. You know, it represented being committed to something that really belonged to somebody else, and that, you know, perhaps a minute that you could be a part of, and really have no control over how you were living your life on a daily basis. And I realize there may be some things a little off with that, with the, you know, the way that we think about things, because obviously it's better to change the way that you think about things and the way that you contribute. But, you know, with regard to this flexibility, what has this allowed you to do now in your life?
Well, it's allowed me to basically pursue what it is that I love to do. Real estate, 13 years of real estate, 12 years of law enforcement, all of it the way I looked at it was an opportunity to serve. But after 13 years of real estate, I discovered and realized that I wasn't making a difference in the world. And things also were happening in the real estate world we won't get into in here, but I wasn't feeling like I was making a difference like I did in law enforcement. And so I said, you know, I want to go out there, and I love to speak. I've been speaking since I was 18 years old. I love to help others. You know, what can I do? Well, I've actually been life coaching. You know, they didn't call it coaching back when I started doing that.
We were training.
Yeah. I mean, there was no such thing as coaching. I've been doing it again for almost 20 years. But I decided I wanted to do all this full time. And so I made that choice, and I took that path. And what this allows me to do, it just gives me the freedom. Because I get up every day, and I tell people I simply play. I don't work, you know, and I have some, you know, might be a little jealous of that, but I've gotten this has gotten me to the point where I decided it was important for me to do what I love to do, and that's training, educating, working with people, helping people be the best they can possibly be. And you know why that is, Susie?
Why, Harry?
Because it allows me to be the best I can possibly be.
I love that. I love when that happens. I really do. I do. And right, it's teach what we want to learn and be able to, that law of reciprocation is incredible, even when it just happens in your own heart. You know, and I love what you say in your book, you know, regarding going back to that forgiveness, is that it's a catalyst and gives rise to compassion. And with that compassion comes acceptance. And I think that's awesome. I think that's a real vital part of that balance and fulfillment in our lives. So I really appreciate, you know, you having picked up the pen and, you know, having been inspired to write about this, because I think it's, you know, something that a lot of us out there don't believe that we can do. We don't believe that we can play instead of work. We don't believe that there's any other way that we can serve other than what our limited, you know, our view of our limited talents and gifts are. So I really appreciate the fact that you've, you know, it's a brave journey. It's a courageous journey to be able to pick up the pen and share your thoughts and want to be able to, you know, protect and serve like that. I think it's wonderful. Okay. So just wanted to announce to our listeners, for those of you that have just tuned in, you're listening to Harry Shade on Rare Sense Thoughts, and you can learn more about Harry at www.rarescenseunlimited.com, or you can visit the show page and click on Harry's smiling face or the cover of his book, and it'll take you right to his website. And Harry, we can reach you on Twitter and Facebook and MySpace as well.
Oh, yeah. I'm everywhere.
No, I think it's wonderful. So let's take this a little deeper, if we could, based on your book. And there's another chapter in your book, chapter 4, on responsibility. And, you know, coming from a career that you had in law enforcement like that, responsibility is a pretty big word. And I know that a lot of people, when they hear the word responsibility, you know, we all grow up hearing that word, finding out that, or having that feeling associated with it being something really large and burdensome, so much so that a lot of people avoided that. You know, when they heard the word, it's your responsibility. So we kind of grew up as a culture who went around and started looking at other people and saying, you know, ensuring that we were holding them accountable for their responsibility. But you bring it back to a whole different level. So would you mind?
Well, basically for me is if you want to create the life that you want, then you have to really realize and understand that you're responsible for it. And if you get to that point, and when you get to that point of realizing that you're responsible for everything that happens in your life, then, and you can look at those things and say, wow, okay, you no longer want to label them necessarily good or bad. And what I mean by that is I look at things, and the example I'll give is my father and I did not get along very, very much growing up. He wasn't a bad guy. He wasn't abusive. He did have an alcohol problem. And yet he would, in the community, he was so well known because he would give his shirt off his back for anybody, but he didn't do a lot with his family. Through that experience and looking at those things, I say to people, he taught me dedication, commitment. He taught me, how to be a father. He taught me so many things, to have a big heart, to be of service. That, I can look back and the other things that happened that I, at the time I perceived, and again, I was young and, you want your dad to be around and it doesn't feel good. But as I grew and again, more and more in my spirituality, I turned around and looked at it and I said, wow, okay, I really learned a lot from this. And now I'm responsible for going forward and taking what it is, these experiences and things that I had, and taking it forward and creating the life that I want. And the only way to create, as far as I'm concerned, and this is my opinion, but to create the life that you want is to take responsibility for everything. And so, because you make the decisions, they're your choices, even if you choose not to make a choice, you just chose to make a choice or not. And that's something, again, when I'm working with people, I'm looking at them going, you really just have to grab responsibility for this thing. Because here's the other thing about it is, responsibility is a heavy word, but utilizing it and taking responsibility makes everything lighter.
I agree, Harry, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, it is a big word, and we're kind of taught, because, as we're growing up, parents even say to us, and I've done the same thing. I have a daughter, I know it. You need to learn responsibility. And you never necessarily hear it from your parents or from people going, hey, you need to learn responsibility. It's not said in a light way. It's, you've got to learn responsibility. When you become an adult, you're going to be responsible, da da da. Now, and so there's a heaviness that's put on it, but literally, like I said, what I've learned for myself is that the more that I'm responsible for things, the more I'm in control and the more that I have power, and I'm holding on to my power and not giving it away. The minute that I say to somebody else, you did this to me, you did this, or this caused that, or didn't, I just gave them control and gave them my power. And I refuse to do that. Now, I am not saying that we control 100% of what happens to us, because we don't. We do control, however, how we're going to react to those things, what we're going to do with it, and what, if anything, are we going to learn from it? So that's where the responsibility comes in, is responsibility also for your choices and how you're going to do it. If I walk outside, now there are some people that would say, yes, you create everything, and I believe that to a degree, okay, that we are in a creative, we are creative beings in a creative process, and there are things we create. However, if I sat there and said, okay, I just walked outside and, I walked in front of a bus. I'm not going to blame the bus for hitting me because I chose to walk in front of the bus. Now, on the other side of the fence, if I walk up to somebody who's having a bad day and I'm trying to order some food and they're nasty to me, I didn't control the situation, but I get to make a decision as to what I'm going to do with it. Now, I could say I'm going to be nasty back to that person because they're nasty to me, or I could say, wonder if they're having a bad day. Well, let me just be light and airy and fun, and maybe I can, change the energy here and make things a little bit different for myself and for them. And you know, when I make that choice to do it that way, it's amazing how things go much better.
And isn't it amazing how it continues? I mean, once you open up and you have that awareness, how easy it is to notice those situations right in the brink of them manifesting, you know, mm-hmm. so that we get to make that choice right there in the moment. Go ahead.
Well, and that was basically it. I mean, it's just you get to make that choice, and that choice you are still responsible for. So if you choose to go to the negative and attack back and continue that negative energy, guess what's going to come back to you?
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to be a pleasant experience. And then now it's no longer on that person. They may have started the thing, but you chose to continue it. So you're responsible for it. Same thing. My mom and I have long discussions today about things in the past and what was going on. And one of the things I told her that I'm really working on right now is to just finally completely get rid of all these things, anything that I have about anybody in the past, forgive, forget, get rid of it, and move forward to the point where, because what happens is, let's say, for instance, you say, well, I remember when Terry did this to me. Well, immediately you start bringing up negative thoughts, negative things that's happening or that happened back then. Now you get to bring it into the present time and infect, and I like the way I put it, infect you, not affect you, but infect you again right then and there. And then what normally happens is if I say something about Terry and Terry did this, then the person across from me goes, oh, yeah. And then Bob went, and then, oh, and it just feeds upon itself.
Yes. And you know, once, like I said, once you're in that awareness, it's incredible what happens. And Loving Light mentioned in the chat room, which is something I totally agree with, that it's really having the opportunity to respond. That's what responsibility is, instead of reacting.
Absolutely.
You know, in that way we're able to take a proactive stance. And I think the more people start relating to that definition for responsibility, that load does become lighter, because right there in that moment, instead of saying, I need to teach you responsibility, is how are you going to respond to this? It's your choice right now. Do you want to feel better or do you want to feel worse, as Abraham would say? You know, those are your two choices in the moment.
Yeah, and that's the other thing that people tend to forget a lot of times, is they forget that they have a choice. They don't respond, they react. And in reaction, then you take away choice. Because when you react, normally you're reacting exactly what's coming your way. So there's no choice there. This is what came my way, this is how I'm reacting. But if you choose to respond, and Loving Light put it perfectly well, if you choose to respond, then you have a choice. Okay, this is what came my way, but I have a choice here. I can respond this way, I can respond this way, or maybe even a third. You might say, I can respond a third way, but you turn and walk away. I mean, no longer being the energy. So you give yourself those choices. And once you then take those choices, then you're now living a life of creation. You're now creating things even on the go, on the spur of the moment. You're making things happen simply because of the choices that you're making. And I'm telling you, I am just big on this part, because when I sit down as a life coach, you know, I hold my clients accountable. I don't want to hear from them anything about, you know, we talk about stuff, and as soon as they start saying, well, my husband this, or my wife that, or my aunt this, I go, no. Let's bring this right back to where it's at. Pull this ball right back into your court. We're not talking about Auntie Sue or Uncle Bob, or we're talking about you and what you're going to do with your dreams, and I'm going to hold you accountable for that. That is just such a big thing for me, that it's a big step, as far as I'm concerned, in the process of being a creative being, to knowing that you are responsible.
Harry, I have a question regarding, now, life coaching. You and I both share this profession, or should I say passion, with regard to accountability. What do you believe the limit is while you're coaching someone? I mean, obviously, there are some instances where people have resistance right before they're learning and they're figuring it out, and we're helping them extract that inner knowledge and to acknowledge that. But what is it that, how can I say, what's the largest resistance that you've ever gotten? Is there something that's similar in a chord that you see amongst the people that you coach or that you've addressed in your speaking engagements?
Well, yeah, I mean, one of the biggest things, and it comes hand in hand, responsibility and forgiveness, and I'm glad we're talking about it because those two are, again, two biggies as far as I'm concerned when it goes, you know, they go hand in hand with these things. One of the biggest things that I found is that people have limiting beliefs, again, because of a lot of things that they've learned, and they need to unlearn these things, but there needs to be that forgiveness in there. And for them to, and first and foremost, and I always tell people this, always work with yourself first. So if you're practicing forgiveness, forgive yourself first. Okay? Because once you can start doing that, and people go, what do I have to forgive myself for? Well, think about it. You're the one that's held yourself in this position. Okay? They didn't, because the transgression only happened maybe once. Maybe more than once, but a lot of times, one time we're talking about a transgression here. What I've found with people is, even though they want to be held accountable, they still, a lot of times, want to use excuses and blaming elsewhere for the things that are happening. And so I need to get them to recognize forgiveness and recognize their responsibility for this and where they're at. And again, we're not therapists. We're not counselors. I'm not there to give them answers. I'm there to help them find the answers within themselves because they're already there. But I do provide guidance, and even in my seminars and whatnot, you know, you get these questions a lot of the times of, you know, well, you know, how do I get there? I know I can't do it. And then when I hear that, I usually go, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times you'll get that pause, you know.
Don't you love those aha moments?
What do you mean you're right? A lot of times I'll hear afterwards, I go, what you just said, you're right. You can't do this. And I have people say to me, well, what kind of coach are you? You know? And I go, listen to me here. What did you just say? You said, I can't do this. And all I said was, you're right, because that's what you're creating. You're putting that word out there, and you're creating the fact that you can't do it. And let me see, you've been saying this for how many years? And a lot of times
right.
I go, well, you know, I don't know, you know, have you ever been able to do it?
Wow, that's amazing.
Making them look at it and think about it and dig into it. Because there's only one logical answer to that. They've never been able to do it. And so the answer is no. And I go, you're right, because this whole time all you've said is I can't. Let's see if we can't work on that. Let's just work on that a little bit. And then we go into questioning and some other things, and we talk about some. But it's to get people to recognize for themselves that they're doing this to themselves. That's probably the biggest challenge that I've had, and what has really reared its head more often than anything, is those limiting beliefs that were fed to them or they learned or observed somewhere along the line that's in that programming, in that subconscious, and that we, with my help, we're going to reprogram that subconscious. I actually learned something today. I was with a gentleman called, his name is John Davis, but he's known as John the New. And we were talking today, and he said this really cool thing today as we were sitting and chit-chatting. And he said, you know, one of the things that was a challenge for people a lot of times is if you're already big and you're kind of overweight, for you to use the I am thing and to say, I am thin, but you keep looking in the mirror and you're not. And your mind goes, you're not thin. And so you're having that battle. He says, what he now is saying, instead of things along those lines and encouraging people to say, is, I am receiving being thin.
Yes, the art of allowing.
Yeah, and it's just that little shift. So your mind isn't sitting there attacking your own thoughts by going, wow, you keep saying you're thin, but you're not, because I can see it right in the mirror. But if you say to them, I am receiving a thin new body, I am receiving phenomenal amounts of money, whatever it is you want to put, just by adding that I am receiving part to it, again, just like you said, Susie, you're allowing it and you're opening yourself up to it to come in.
Well, often we do ask that question, don't we? Ask when we, you know, we have something that we feel it will help someone else, and whether it's advice or not, you know, especially when we've been asked the question, is to first ask people, you know, are you open to some other alternative than what you're thinking? And just, you know, opening up those lines. Or else, because when we're asking the questions, it's a different vibration than opening up to receiving the answer to those questions. So there's that little shift inside, too, where the prayers and the asking, you know, comes from a different level of vibration, and now being open to receive that. And I found that we're working with clients also, is that there's a little meat and potatoes in the, you know, in between that needs to come out in order for them to be open. You know, I mean, and this goes back as far as counseling, you know, in the early days of traditional psychology and marriage counseling, you know, very rarely did you meet a psychologist who the first question would be, look, do you really want this to work? Are you looking, you know, to open up to alternatives from what you've tried? Now, obviously, that's why people embark on that type of counseling. But when they're, you know, asked the question, you'd be surprised how many people haven't even thought about it.
Oh, and that's true. And it's a very good point, Susie, because, you know, a lot of times, and we've been having this discussion actually in LinkedIn and some of the coaches' groups on LinkedIn about, you know, how do you deal with clients that you either know you've taken them as far as you can, or you're just not clicking and you can't help them. You know, it's just not working between the two of you, you know, either because of a personality thing or they are not ready. You know, the other thing is, though, you know, I've actually found, though, too, is I find that I attract the people to me, whether they're clients or whatever it is, that are attracted to me.
Right.
So, it's a mutual attraction. So I don't run into that very often because of where I am and how I've been open to, okay, you know, I want people. I basically put it out there to the universe. I want to work with people that are ready.
To hear what you have to say and how you can help them, exactly.
Yep.
I think that's so key to a lot of the healers and the people, as you call them, Harry, in the helping fields, is that, you know, we all want to save the world. You know, we've raised our compassion levels and then, you know, wonder why we're confronted with people and clients that it just seems so draining. And it's because we really haven't set the intention about, you know, attracting those people that are ready to take the process forward, because we're in those vibrational levels of maybe some frustration and joy and appreciation and abundance mindsets where, you know, to work on people that are really not quite there becomes very, very draining to us. And I think it's really important that people set that intention. So I appreciate you sharing that with us.
Oh, yeah. You're absolutely right. And see, the other side of that too, Susie, is one of the reasons that I'm going into the new business I am and the group of us came together is we recognize that the people in the helping fields, a lot of times because they're exposed to some of these things and whatnot, they don't take care of themselves.
Yes.
And
but isn't that the true reflection? We know when we attract those people exactly where we're sitting.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And so, you know, I often say this to a lot of people is that to give your very best, you have to be at your very best. And so, but yeah, putting that intention out there and saying, I want to attract people that are ready. And of course, I've had people say to me, well, you know, really, shouldn't you be wanting to work with those people that really, really, really need you? And you go, yeah, I mean, it's nice to be able to take somebody like that and do that. But like you said, it is very draining. And it doesn't always necessarily work because they're just simply not ready.
Right. They're not open to listening or even partaking, or probably it's a lot of, you know, I made that decision a long time ago too. I don't want to be teaching kindergarten per se. I want to teach adult high school. You know, and it's not a reference between being a child and being an adult, but just on those levels where, you know, I don't have the capacity from where I'm standing now to be able to go back and teach the letter. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, and while we're talking about this new endeavor, the Innovations Global, can you expand upon that a little bit more?
Oh, Innovision Global, yes. Well, we sat down, a group of us got together for Earth Day last year, and we're working on an Earth Day birthday campaign. And we really, really just, this is one of the cool things about Facebook and the Internet. None of us have met in person, but the energy that we felt from one another and the passion for you know, the Earth and those types of things, when we got done with the campaign, sat down and said, gosh, that was so much fun working together. Maybe we should do that more often. And so a group of us got together, and the other thing we discovered is that a majority of us were speakers, trainers, coaches, and a couple others were working on getting, you know, certification and doing coaching and those types of things. And we said, what can we do? And so we sat back and we came up with Innovision Global by combining innovation and vision, and we wanted to have a global perspective. But we said, what is really can we do out there? And as much as we like helping people, we said, you know, let's create a community to help coaches and anybody in the helping fields, and help them in many different ways, from additional training to you know, seminars and webinars, books, resources, those types of things, to that missing piece that we felt was out there. We did not see anybody out there saying, wow, we need to take care of these people because they don't take care of themselves. We need to work with them on doing that, you know, bring that aspect to this community. So that's what Innovision Global is all about. It's to help those whose business is helping others in a holistic, total mind, body, spirit sort of way, so that they can be, again, they can be the best they can be and go out and continue to do the wonderful works that they do. Coaching is such a, again, it's not work, it's play. It's such a rewarding thing that you do, too. When you see your clients stepping out of their comfort zone and creating things and doing things they never thought was possible, you can't help it but, you know, get a piece of that, you know?
Yeah, and it's, I love it because it's in the rewarding sense that it brings so much of myself back to me. You know, I get to really engage not just with the client, but, you know, a lot of what I reflect on after a session is what I've learned, what I've just experienced, there, and where I've expanded to. And I think that's a wondrous, I guess, vocation of reciprocation. I do. I really love it. But, you know, we only have a few minutes left, Harry. Mm-hmm. And I did wanted to ask you about your inspirations, because you spoke of Wayne Dyer and Deepak Chopra and Meryl Gephart, which was your reverend, and Marianne Williamson, and of course you expanded on Neil Donald Walsh before. But what was your most profound moment?
Wow. Well, my most profound moment probably would have been when I first picked up Neil Donald Walsh's Conversations with God and read it, because these were what was in there, and what I got from that book was exactly how I was feeling when I was 12 years old.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it is. And I never really could get to, when I say I never could get to the answers came to me, but I just, you know, at 12 and 13 and 14, you're going, wow, I'm just not sure about this. You know, and I think God's talking to me, but, you know, who knows? But then I was at that point where I was reading this book and I'm going, oh, my God, these were the exact questions I had asked God. You know, I think it was in whenever this book came out, I had to have been in my late 30s. And I'm going, 20-some years ago, I asked. So Neil knew exactly what I needed to know and put in
so
that book.
So this felt like when your reverend said, you know, I'm not answering these questions, or you know, talk to God, you were finding the answers in that book. But more so the questions.
Yeah, I find the answers in a book, and it was the same questions I asked back when I was 12, 13, and 14 that, like I said, I got the answers to, but I just wasn't sure, and so I kept looking and kept looking and kept looking until this book came along, and then when this book came out, I'm like, oh, my God. There it is.
I love that. I love how people's stories uncover, you know, where it was that they reached that first awakening. And we hear so many different variables. It's great. And this is the first time I've heard this one. So it's interesting.
Yeah. Now, I tell you what, my other main mentor in my life and still is today is my mom. My mom is phenomenal. She was a single mom for a lot of the time, you know, raised three kids, you know, again, by herself. Even when Dad was there, he wasn't there. She took care of us. She taught us, you know, to be our own person, to...
Harry, are you there? Oh, I think we lost Harry, listeners. Sorry about that. He doesn't seem to be on the switchboard anymore. And we have some storms brewing in the area, so I'm not sure what that's about. But anyway, talking about those stories, I really wanted to hear from Harry about his new project, because there are many of us out there that are on healing paths and really, you know, discovering that our passions are about helping each other reach those levels of acceptance, forgiveness, and compassion. So I'm hoping Harry will call in, but if he doesn't in the last 4 minutes, I do want to thank all of you for... Oh, here he is. Hold on 1 second. Hey, Harry, we lost you.
Yeah, I just kind of went beep, beep, beep.
All right, great. I was just telling our listeners about how we could find out more about your InnoVisions, correct? InnoVisions
Global?
Yes, because I was saying, you know, many of us that are out there on our passion and purpose to help others reach those levels of, you know, forgiveness and acceptance and compassion. How might we be able to get to that resource, or, you know, where are you in that, with that endeavor right now?
Yeah, InnoVision Global, our website should be up and live somewhere around beginning of September to mid-September. So it's going to be, the company website is InnoVisionGlobalLLC.com. The membership site, though, is simply going to be InnoVisionGlobal.com. And that's going to go live, looks like right now, on 1 October. However, if you get with me on Facebook, we're going to be actually putting out some notes here. We're going to be putting out a survey asking for people to give us feedback on what they would like to see in a membership site. And then you'll have the opportunity to sign up for our newsletter. And, you know, it's free, and basically you can kind of keep track of what we're doing. So on Facebook, just look up Harry Shade. I try to keep things simple. On Twitter, I'm Harry Shade. And so we're going to be Twittering about it, and you're going to see Facebook notes, and there's going to be articles written and a lot of stuff coming out here. Starting, actually, I think the 25th and 26th, we're going to do the pre-launch campaign. So.
Okay, great. Now, someone just asked in the chat room, how do they get in touch with you on Facebook when they're on Facebook? You just type in Harry Shade in the search field, and I'm sure you'll find them.
And my profile is open, so you can go in there and learn everything you want to learn about me or anything you want to do, and feel free to friend me and whatnot. So Facebook, like I said, most everything I do is Harry Shade. Even MySpace is Harry Shade, and I think even my YouTube channel is Harry Shade. So.
Wonderful. All right, Harry, we only have about a minute left, and I want to thank you so much for joining us, and hopefully we'll catch Eleanor, because I'd love to have her as a guest on the show. I know T-Boy was asking if we were going to be having readings today, so perhaps Eleanor would like to engage with us. We'd love to have her.
She would.
And I, you know, best of luck on your new endeavors, and, you know, all of us looking forward to seeing that blossom, because we know where it's headed and we know what kind of contributions you're making, and really want to thank you so much for the work that you're doing out there. All right, and you can catch Harry on his radio show, and that's blogtalkradio.com/Harry Shade. And thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Night,
take care.
Everybody.
Thank you, Harry.
Thank
Good night.
You, Susie.
Bye-bye.